Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Plenty of opinions, theories, and trends when it comes to Cheltenham 2024. But as we try and break down all of these different views, what about the actual data? And how can we use data to predict who's going to win what race? Welcome to the Final Furlong Podcast. I'm Emmett Kennedy, joined by former jockey and lead analyst for Race IQ, the now leading racing data analyst, to break down some of the key races for Cheltenham 2024. Paige, welcome to the show.
Hi, Emmett. Thank you for having me on.
Delighted to have you on. I've been looking forward to talking to you for quite a while. Your work has been used extensively by Racing TV, Sky Sports Racing, ITV, Lydia Hislop and Ruby, big fans of you on Road to Cheltenham. But this is your first podcast, so I'm delighted that you're joining us on the Final Furlong. And thank you very much for your time. As I've been going through this data, I've had a number of raised eyebrow moments, including, I was saying to you off air, sitting in between two passengers on a plane and going, wait, what? Out loud. There's some fascinating stuff in here. This is incredibly extensive data. How did it all come about for you?
So I only joined the project just before the sort of public launch. So this project itself has been, it's been going on for, I think they sort of started about a year ago. So it's coming up to the year anniversary of Ellipse Data, RMG, Race IQ journey. And I think it's just, basically, RMG obviously saw the fact that a lot of sports are way ahead of the curve compared to racing with data provision, and they really wanted to try and open up racing to a sort of new, younger audience and try and engage a lot more people who are more familiar with that sort of data provision in other sports, and just try and engage them a little bit more and provide just another angle that's simplified as well, because obviously TPD do this. You know, we're not changing anything there that TPT have been offering this, but we also want to make sure that it's totally accessible to people who might not understand as much about racing as well.
Well, given the amount of data that's available for the NFL, Premier League, the Champions League, and how well received all of that is, it's only natural that racing would follow in those footsteps. There is some things about not having certain data for finishing speed of horses or sectional times for horses at certain tracks. Is that going to be implemented a little bit more? Like, will it be more rolled out for each track by the time, hopefully, please God, touch wood, we're all talking in a year's time, will we have definitive data about Ellipse Data, Marie National and Co?
Yeah, so as you quite rightly pointed out, we're missing pre-January 24. We hadn't fully rolled out, Course Track hadn't fully rolled out the data in Ireland, but that rollout is now complete. So from January 2024 onwards, we have all UK and Irish racecourses covered with our data. We have a reciprocal agreement with TPD as well, so we can have a look at basically any tracks around the country, any races this year, and a lot of races last year from Racing TV tracks in the UK as well.
Okay, well, shall we do this in traditional Cheltenham preview night style? As in, not do it the simple way, which would be go Supreme, Bering, Bingham, Albert Bartlett, but go day by day, because that's just how every Cheltenham preview is, and we'll follow that route as well, shall we? So Supreme, Jericho de Repenay, Tully Hill, Ballyburn, Firefox, they were the horses that you highlighted. We're still trying to figure out where exactly Ballyburn is going to go, but what is the race IQ data telling you about those specific horses?
Yeah, so this is quite an interesting one. I'll introduce the first. Obviously, we've just touched on finishing speed percentage, and for those people who aren't that familiar with the finishing speed percentages, it's just the percentage. So how much the final four furlongs match up speed wise, or how much time the time matches up to the rest of the race. So if you've got a perfectly evenly run race, it will be a 100% finishing speed percentage, because each section will add up to the same. Whereas if you quicken at the end, then obviously you'll have a higher finishing speed percentage. And I mentioned this because I think when Firefox beat Ballyburn, it was a really high finishing speed percentage in that race. It was a finishing speed percentage of 117.66, which means they went 17% quicker over the last four furlongs than they did throughout the rest of the race, which I think is quite interesting, because it shows how much speed Firefox has got, but also how well Ballyburn stays, because obviously Ballyburn went and won over 2 mile 4 the next time. And then he also, when he won at the Dublin Racing Festival, he finished with basically 100% finishing speed percentage. And we all know that Cheltenham doesn't hold any prisoners. And I just think that actually it goes to show that whatever race Ballyburn runs in, the style of racing at Cheltenham and the Hill will probably just suit him a little bit better than Firefox when we get to the festival.
So are you saying that that race at Ferry House on, they're both their hurdling debuts, but Firefox's second start of the season, because he'd run on a bumper, actually turned into a sprint, which might not have convenienced Willie's horse, whereas it did really suit Gordon's?
Exactly that, because I think that's also probably why he got Firefox, then went and got beaten the Lawlers of Nace, because obviously stepped up to 2 mile 4, not able to use his speed in the same way. So it'll be really interesting to see how that translates to the Cheltenham Festival. I think that's what's always so difficult about Irish racing, is we all know that we watch very different style of racing to British racing. Obviously, Jericho de Repenay is running in a completely different style of race over in England to what they are over in Ireland, and he hasn't run against any of them. So, yeah, I really like Jericho de Repenay as well, but unfortunately, Ballyburn just has such a high reputation, it's sort of hard to argue against him, isn't it?
You're also in danger of getting yourself criticised like poor old Aidan Coleman and Harry Fry did. How dare they express an opinion that differs from the narrative? They all got absolutely slaughtered for that. In terms of Ballyburn's jumping, though, so length gained per jumping, this is something I'm fascinated by, and I think for chasers, it's something to really try and drill down into, because, well, I'm a simpleton, Page, and so I might have overread or overestimated some of the stuff that was being said, so you can break that down for us in a few minutes. But on the face value, Ballyburn's jumping is seriously impressive.
Yeah, he's always gaining advantage through his jumping, and again, I suppose it's from my past jockey's angle, it's all those tiny little margins that will help him at Cheltenham. You know, we know he's going to stay the 2 miles, as you say, he's always gaining advantage at Ferry House. Even though he got beat by Firefox, he still gained nearly a length and a half extra just through his jumping. Again, he's gained a 3-length advantage at Christmas at Leopardstown. And at the Dublin Racing Festival, it wasn't as much. He only gained sort of half a length through his jumping. But all those little margins will help when you're coming to that grade one level.
So if you were to talk to Willie Mullins, and if we've learned anything over the last few weeks, last few seasons, it's... somebody tells Willie Mullins to run a horse in a race, he will go and do the exact opposite and run in a different race. So, but if you were to sit down and talk to him about the data, which race would you recommend he runs Ballyburn in?
You know, it's so hard, because you just go for the race that he's just going to go for the race that he thinks he wants to win both, doesn't he? So I suppose it depends on the other race as well. But I think he'll be a really strong stayer for the Supreme, and I think he'll put them under pressure from his jumping and his ability just to outstay them as well. And yeah, I think the Supreme would suit him very well.
Now they've got Mystical Power as well, who is bred for stamina. He can definitely go up and trip. Willie has been saying quite a bit that he feels the Supreme would suit the horse better because it'll give Mark a better chance to switch him off over 2 miles, whereas trying to switch him off over 2 mile 5 might be that little bit more tough. A day after he said that, he became favourite for the Baring Bingham. So who the hell knows what's going on there? And it should be remembered that he was telling a Cheltenham preview panel, oh, 5-4-3 is definitely going to run in the Supreme. And 24 hours later, he went for what is now the Baring Bingham. But he's also got Tully Hill. And the visual impression would be, well, Tully Hill jumps like a crab. And the data very much backs that up.
It really does. I think, what was the value? I think on average, he was losing over 5 miles an hour over his obstacles compared to No Flies on Him, who was only losing 2.2 miles an hour. And again, when you sort of add all that up, even though the face value of the lengths gained as well, it might not be affected. You've got to remember, a horse that loses five, and I'll touch on this a little bit throughout the program, a horse that loses 3 miles an hour more each hurdle has got 3 miles an hour more to make up at every hurdle as well. So, you know, that's going to take a big toll on your energy, and you just won't get away with that. You've got to have a massive engine to be able to give away that many lengths throughout a race and gain it back on the flat.
And Edward O'Grady was saying that No Flies on Him wasn't fit the other day either, so perhaps the winning margin was just a little bit exaggerated, although I think Tully Hill will make a smashing chaser, but might be vulnerable. Jericho de Repenate. So this horse is just a conundrum for me. Clearly, he's held in very high regard. I think he's going to really appreciate a strongly run Supreme. Ironically, if Ballyburn were in here, he actually might set it up for him. And I think the faster they go, his higher cruising speed will be really suited to that, the better horse you will see. But he would also be the lowest rated horse to win the Supreme on Racing Post ratings in over 10 years. And it might actually go back even further than that. But what does the Race IQ data tell you about him overall?
Yeah, I think, again, I was saying to you off air beforehand, like I think the nicest thing about the Race IQ data is there's so much there that once everyone's obviously got access to it and can have a look, like, you'll be able to find the stuff that backs up what you want to say. And this is such an open race. You'll be able to find stuff to support any horses in this race because it's such a great renewal. Like, quite often the last couple of years we've been going into the Supreme and you've been going, oh, that horse is just going to bolt up. And okay, we had a surprise last year with Marie Nationale, or kind of a surprise. But, it, you know, like, there are some really good horses in here. You know, for us to be pulling apart Tully Hill after the performance last time, you know, it shows what level we're talking about. And unfortunately, Jericho de Repenate, he's just looked very workmanlike. So he hasn't sort of set people's imaginations alight like some of the others. And the data really says that he's done nothing wrong. You know, and his form very much got boosted at Kempton last week with lump sum. And I can't remember the horse that was second, but boosting that really quite strongly. So, I mean, yeah, he's, again, Jericho de Repenate, his jumping's never a disadvantage. He's always quickening up and finishing his race as well. And as you say, he gets the job done in a workmanlike fashion, but that probably suggests that the Cheltenham Hill will suit him too. But yeah, it's such an interesting race because you could literally fight an argument for any of them, couldn't you?
Fiercely Proud. Thank you, Timeform, for bailing both of us out, because I'd forgotten the horse's name as well. Who would you be siding with currently for the Supreme, bearing in mind that Mystical Power may very well end up going for this race and we still just don't know?
I think if Willie Mullins thinks this is the right race for Ballyburn, I'm fully behind Ballyburn. As I say, I think he's just going to line them up. I know it's boring and everyone's saying it, but he's just going to line them up to try and win both Supreme and Baring Bingham's. And ultimately, as Ruby said, Ballyburn's his ace card, so why would he play this in a race he doesn't think he can't win with him?
Yeah, I think we'll come back to Slade Steel in a few minutes because we'll switch to the Baring Bingham in a little bit. But I think it depends on who he thinks can beat Slade Steel. And if he thinks that's Ballyburn, then he'll go for the Baring Bingham and force Slade Steel into the Supreme and try and beat him with Mystical Power and Tully Hill. But hey, that's a guess, and we shall see. The Arkle is going to be a very differently run race to the Dublin Racing Festival, and also it's a furlong shorter. Now, I initially thought that's going to suit Founder 50. Most people would say he'll improve for going up in distance. I actually think his running style is really suited to the Arkle. The problem is, I've now come around to the thinking that, well, first of all, he jumps out to the right, so he'll lose ground. Secondly, I don't know about the nature of the track, and the Race IQ data did leave me with a raised eyebrow as well.
The timings I thought were really interesting, again, because he was another one that when he ran at Leopards Down at Christmas, his first mile five, same course and distance again, was another 1.8 seconds slower than the Dublin Racing Festival race again. So his race at Christmas was like 5 seconds slower over the first mile five than when Marine National now run. It's just bonkers. It's so hard to match up all this form, isn't it? And as you say, I think his jumping hasn't always stood up that well. Like, as you say, at Aintree last year, he's lost nearly four lengths jumping just through the race, through that alone. And I just can't see the race at Cheltenham suiting him from any respect, really. But again, it's all about this data. It's just backing up your opinion. I'm not the horse's biggest fan, but actually he's clearly got a bigger engine. You know, it's what you want to see, isn't it?
Oh, he's definitely a weapon, and he is talented. His form with I Am Maximus looks a whole lot better now than it did a couple of weeks ago. But I almost feel that this is a race that you should be taking a tilt at something at a wild price, because it's not a great renewal of the Arkle, and there are major question marks. And the horse that I've been interested in is Jello for Venetia Williams. Now, you didn't do a breakdown of him, but was there anything in your race IQ data that made you think, particularly that run at Ascot back in December, where he basically had the race won from the halfway point, just galloped them into submission? If he was to get into a really nice rhythm on the front end, which won't be easy because there'll be plenty of competition for the lead, Founder 50 being one of them, but if he can get himself into a nice rhythm, he could be very, very intriguing. And while he wouldn't have been as good as these over hurdles, Venetia Williams has done this before, starting off in handicap chases with Lampress and then winning a Grade 1 novice chase at Cheltenham, and that's the same route this guy's taking.
I thought you were going to set me up really nicely for my eye catcher in this race, and then you went on a complete tangent. So I haven't done that much comparison with J-Lo, because yes, he's been very impressive so far, but again, the thing about the lengths gain jumping is we're always measuring about against a mean of the horses they're running against, and sadly for J-Lo, he actually hasn't run loads over fences against other horses in this race, so it's sort of hard to compare from that respect. So I don't want to extrapolate the data to try and support. He's just not a horse that I've really focused in on. But the horse on a bigger price that I do quite like is Quilixios, because actually I think he's become the forgotten horse, and for horses that haven't really, you know, had much experience. Quilixios, yes, he's only had a couple of runs over fences, but he's a Triumph Hurdle winner. And actually, they clearly thought he was going to stay 2.5 miles. Then they stepped him up to 3 miles. That obviously hasn't worked whatsoever. And I think this horse is completely overlooked. And he actually gained 7 lengths jumping when he won last time. And I just think that actually, you know, he's a bit tougher. He's a bit more battle-hardened than some of his rivals. And I just think that he could spring a surprise.
There is a negative statistic about Henry de Bromhead horses running at Cheltenham who didn't compete in a graded race before. I think it's 1 from 22 off the top of my head. We'll correct that if I'm wrong later in the week. It's not like we'd be engaging in Russian disinformation or anything like that, but Adam Mills really likes him, and we talked to Henry de Bromhead on this show only a few days ago, and he sounded very, very bullish about him as well for running a big race, and he's already a Cheltenham Festival winner, and that is indeed your eye catcher, as it says here in the race IQ data. So I had to come in with the complete left field pick of Jello, who may very well go for the Turners as well, by the way. There's plenty of options for him. National and Chase, it's going to be renamed to the in honour of Maureen Mullins, which is a really lovely thing to do. And well, the Mullins team have got an incredible chance of walking away with this race. William Mullins with Embassy Gardens, Emmett Mullins, of course, with Corbett's Cross. And the race IQ data would tell you that his jumping is actually quite good, despite the fact that there's a narrative out there that it's horrible.
For Corbett's Cross?
Yeah.
He's actually very good. Like, obviously he kind of knocked himself out the last time, which wasn't ideal. But actually he sees out the trip, 3-mile trip, really strongly. Obviously he was unlucky to bump into Grange Clare West, who, you know, could have been anything. Quite sad not to see him at the festival. But yeah, his jumping, I mean, he's got, you know, 10 lengths gained at Fairy House, nearly 3 lengths gained at Leopardstown, again, nearly 5 lengths at Fairy House the last time. And I just, I just think that actually he could be underrated here. I mean, Embassy Gardens is another interesting one where you can see how much he's improved for a fence. And again, that's what we sort of can show up in the data. So where he was at over hurdles, he just showed last time that he's completely turned that around against Sandor Clegane and gained like nearly 12 lengths through his jumping last time alone. So I think that's the kind of interesting side of seeing how they translate from sort of hurdles to fences and seeing how they progress. And Embassy Gardens is definitely a horse that has progressed for fences, hasn't he?
Oh, very much so. It's just fascinating that they both competed against one another at Cheltenham last year and it went horribly wrong, but for very different reasons. Embassy Gardens pulls up, kind of disgraces himself. Corbett's Cross disgraced himself in a completely different way. He's pushing Stay Away Faye all the way and then decides, I'll head into the champagne tent and nearly kill Mark Walsh in the process. How do you think they'll both handle Cheltenham, given the fact that they've had very different experiences there? The horse pulling up at Cheltenham, going back there, for any racecourse for that matter, is that something that you just have to weigh as a negative against him, or do you forgive him that now over fences?
I personally would just forgive him for it, to be honest. I think it's very easy with these young horses to forget how much pressure we put them under early on in their career. And sometimes a horse just needs a year. And actually, the fact that he's pulled up doesn't mean that he's had a tough race either. So, you know, he could well come back a better horse. He obviously settles a lot better now. So he's clearly matured. And actually, yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. If he was a horse that finished midfield or something and showed a real, like, that it was just not an advantage for him running at Cheltenham, I'd be more concerned. Whereas a horse that pulls up, you just go, sometimes horses just aren't right. And so just write it off, if you know what I mean.
I do. We all make mistakes and we have to be forgiven them from time to time. We'll move on to the Wednesday. The opening first race is the Baring Bingham Novices Hurdle. So we've already talked about Ballyburn. Very keen, though, to hear what you have to say about Slade Steele, because he will go wherever Ballyburn doesn't. What is the Race IQ data telling you about his Cheltenham chances?
Oh, he's one of the gaps that we've got, as you mentioned at the start, Emma. I think we've only got one race for him. So he jumped fine that day. I think he lost half length, but you know, we're just going by form, unfortunately. So you're probably as educated as me in that point, really. But yeah, look, you know, he looked better suited to 2.5 miles of time beforehand. So yeah, as you say, it's just going to be where Willie thinks each is better off.
Yeah, this is the fun time about Willie Mullins bingo, which then leads to Cheltenham musical chairs for the other trainers as well, including for Gidley Park, who's definitely the leading British contender. There's now a speculation that he might go for the longer distance of the potato race. We shall see what Harry Fry and Johnny Burke decide to do. But what is Race IQ telling you about him?
It tells me that even though he's not always the prettiest of jumpers, he still gets from A to B very quickly. You know, he's a very strong travelling horse. And personally, I think his style of racing will suit this race a bit better than the Albert Bartlett. Just because he's so rapid over his hurdles, I think he'll put them under pressure and he can make this race a really good test of stamina just through his jumping and the way he travels through a race. So, you know, I'd really like to see him in this race, but I appreciate why Harry Fry would probably want to give him, again, where his jumping's a little bit ugly, he might get more of a chance to just get his feet together over further. But, you know, through the data, I mean, he's got, like, when I put down all of our sort of quickest, you know, metrics, he's got, like, he's the slickest, so he's on average losing the least speed, his quickest speed recovery time on average, and like gaining the most lengths as well. So he is pretty I think he's pretty exciting for Harry Fry, and even if he doesn't necessarily perform this year at the festival, I think over fences he'll be a better horse again.
Yeah, 100%. That does, even the way they're talking about him, everything this year is a bonus. I know that's such a cliche at this point, but I would prefer to see him in this race as well, to be honest, because the potato race is just a complete and total lottery. If Ballyburn's in there, yeah, definitely you're going to go further. But if he's in the Supreme, then it's a different kettle of fish. And if he is in the Supreme, it means Mystical Power is in this race. To my eyes, he seemed to get a little bit outpaced coming towards the final bend. But then once the afterburners kicked in, he's flown away. And his mother, Annie Power, was considered too slow to run on the flat for Jim Bulger. He ran her twice in bumpers before she transferred to Willie Mullins. And they say that she showed nothing at home. And this fella's the exact same. A lazy sod at home, but once he's on the track, very good.
Yeah, he's obviously very smart. I think we've mentioned him earlier, you know, supreme, but bearing Bingham, I think he'll be Ballyburn's backup, really, won't he? As we've already mentioned, he's probably not quite as good as Ballyburn. But actually, yeah, I think he's improving for each start. He finished off with a finishing speed percentage of 110 last time, so you know, he saw out the trip well over 2 miles. So actually, you know, I think he'll be a good backup. But I feel bad saying that about all horses, but it's how we kind of end up with these Willie Mullins horses, isn't it? As you say, my head's kind of all in a spin and I've forgotten which one's which anyway. So
I think that happens to Willie sometimes. He called him mythical power a couple of times, actually. Poor old horse, can't even get his name right. But I think he's very, very good. There is just one note of caution, though. Willie, if you're listening, I know you won the race with a 5-year-old last year, but they have an awful record in the Baron Bingham. One winner in the last 10 years. Don't put him in the Supreme. You know it makes sense. He's definitely going for Baron Bingham now on the back of that. Brown Advisory. This was the one that made me go, wait, what the... Because I've heard so many people talking about the amazing jumping of Stay Away Faith. Oh, he's such a great jumper. He's such a solid jumper. Not according to Race IQ. He's effective, but he's hanging in the air like a show jumper, and that's causing him to lose ground. How does that impact him and his prospects of winning the Brown Advisory?
So I think this is interesting because it goes back to Paul Nicholls's, why presumably Paul Nicholls tried him in the Cotswold Chase to see whether he was kind of the Gold Cup level, because I think he is going to be a Gold Cup horse in a season or two's time, but he might just get found out over this slightly less stiff Brown Advisory, because he reminds me a lot of Jerry Colomb, really. And the reason why Jerry Colomb got beat last year was just because he just hangs in the air. He's a bit slow away from the back of his fences. And I think Stay Away Faye is just going to have the same problem. I wouldn't go as far as say his jumping isn't good. It's very solid. I think everyone's right in saying it's very solid, but he's just a bit slow in the air. He's just, as you say, hanging in the air. When Giovinco and him ran against each other in the Eastern Novice Chase, he was losing nearly a mile per hour more in the air at each fence on average than Giovinco. And it's small margins like that, which again, the Brown Advisory is on the old course. It's still, even though it's obviously a staying race, it's still quite a fast run 3-mile race. And I just think it could catch him out. I think he'll run really well. I do think he'll run really well. You know, he's lost nearly like 9 lengths or something on Giovinco at Sandown and still beat him. So he's clearly got the engine there. But even at Cheltenham last time, you know, a Hoy Senor was gaining like 7 lengths in the Cotswold Chase or something like that. It's like if a Hoy Senor is gaining 7 lengths in the Cotswold Chase, it's not exactly the world's greatest field of jumpers. And he was still losing 3 lengths through his jumping throughout the race. So, yeah, I think he's a very good horse, but for a couple of years down the line, personally.
I think he's a Grand National horse, and he's probably going to be too high in the weights for that, which is going to be a problem. And Paul Nicholls is not the kind of guy who anchors a horse at the back of a field in a number of small field races and then says, oh, it's been ulcers. Well, what can you do? Ulcers. They're cleared up for Cheltenham. Don't worry. We'll be grand for a prestige handicap that we won last year. But pff, these pesky ulcers are causing so much of a panic. That's just not what Paul does. That's why William Mullins doesn't win handicap chases at Cheltenham. His horses don't have ulcers. They're running on their merit. And now jump! Anyway, I think that's a really fascinating piece of information. Briefly on Factofile, again, lacking data, but you're making the point that we've made a number of times on the show as well, just the comparison with Hartwood's handicap and how much quicker he was carrying significantly more weight.
Yeah, I think it's very... It was helped out by obviously Gaelic Warrior going hard in front. It's his style of running, isn't it? So naturally you're going to get a faster run race because you've gone harder through the race. But yeah, 3 seconds quicker than a grade 3 handicap with sort of seasoned pros, and the winner of that carrying what was it, a stone, like nearly 2 stone less than him. I mean, that is a really impressive time, but he's not got that race experience. But then again, it's so difficult because these horses in Ireland, you go, oh, they've only run against two or three horses. They get to the big field at Cheltenham and then they grow another inch, whereas our horses seem to run against loads of horses and then just go, oh, never done this before, and then completely bum out. So obviously, you can't really judge it. Yeah, he ran in a two-horse race last time, but yeah, it was impressive, wasn't it?
Very much so. I've had that theory for the last couple of years that that's the problem the British horses are having against the Irish. Yeah, we might be in small fields, but our races are of a better quality and a better caliber, and so they're more primed for a fight, whereas the British horses, with the greatest respect to Jericho de Repenay and Gidley Park, two horses I like, I don't know what they're learning against lesser opposition. And even with Lump Sum going and winning the other day, his connections come out straight away and say, yeah, his big game is the Welsh champion hurdle. No disrespect to that race, but if Henry de Bromhead or Gordon Elliott came out and said that about a horse of theirs, we'd be like, what? It's different level.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other thing as well is once, if you overface a young horse as well and give them too many tough races, then you haven't given them a chance to develop in themselves either, have you? And that you don't give them a chance to grow that extra inch when they actually face up to a proper challenge. So yeah, it's really interesting. It's such an interesting dynamic between the two different styles of racing. And look, no one's ever going to be able to get to the bottom of it, but I'm personally now really enjoying understanding a bit more about the Irish racing because it's not something I've watched much previously at all. So yes, when all the data that I've pulled out looks completely nonsense, I'll have that as my caveat that didn't used to watch Irish racing, so didn't know what I was talking about. No, I'm joking. But hopefully the data is, you know, I'm enjoying looking into it and understanding a bit more about why certain things happen from Ireland to England. And hopefully we can start sort of, yeah, churning into that a bit more as well.
Well, look, when Nevin Truesdale and the Jockey Club are handing the Prestbury Cup to, on Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar after day two and going, just white flag, surrender, there you go, you've won it again. We'll send you an Irish jersey. We'll get to the tricolour for you and you can start wearing that and go, I'm fully on board for Irish racing from now on. Yeah, it could be a bloodbath. Just very briefly on Grey Dawning, while Stay Away Faye has slowed his fences, Grey Dawning most certainly is not. He's very, very quick.
Yeah, I think, well, Grey Dawning's a really interesting one because when Stay Away Faye and him ran against each other at Exeter first time out, Stay Away Faye gained like a length and a half on his jumping on Grey Dawning. So we've already touched on why I don't love Stay Away Faye's jumping. But then from that point, Grey Dawning just seems to have totally excelled. And actually that day, just as a sort of benchmark horse, the Changing Man was also in that race. And I think gained three lengths or something on Grey Dawning in that race. Turn it round to Warwick and the Changing Man's then losing five lengths on Grey Dawning. So, you know, yes, he made that mistake at Cheltenham, which threw away his chance for Ginny's Destiny. But I think he's moved past that. I think he's learning from all of his experiences and he's consistently now gaining significant lengths, probably also because he's just a very fast horse for this trip. And I think that's what will catch out Stay Away Faye. Personally, I think a horse like Grey Dawning or Factor File, they're just that bit faster. I don't think for a Gold Cup in 2 years' time we'll be saying the same thing. But I think for this Brown Advisory race on a sharp track over just 3 miles, I think Grey Dawning will just be quite the speed horse in comparison and use that to his advantage.
William Mullins bingo and then the subsequent musical chairs means Grey Dawning might actually switch to the Turners, which is the race we're going to skip to next because we know what's going to happen in the Champion Chase. And anybody who saw the John Bond schooling session the other day must have gone, oh no, oh no. But we'll skip that one, shall we? But your eye catcher is Broadway Boy, who might actually go National Hunt Chase. And I'm hearing they really, really fancy him. Why is he your eye catcher?
I think, again, it's sort of, we touched on the, you know, I can't remember which race it is now, but when we were talking about Corbett's Cross, the National Hunt Chase, that was the one, you know, Cheltenham form. Broadway Boy is a horse that loves Cheltenham. You know, he's 3 from 4 there. He loves the track. He obviously ran very close to 4 and 4 to the only time he's got beaten at the track. And actually, he jumps really well, even despite of his mistakes. Last time in a proper handicap, he still, even with his bad mistakes, was able to gain a length and a half advantage through his jumping. And the time before that, when he was against novices, he gained like 10 and a half lengths through his jumping. And a horse that can just get into a rhythm around Cheltenham and jump and travel like he can is, you can't really underestimate, can you? We see it time and time again. Horses that love Cheltenham, they just turn up at Cheltenham, don't they?
Very much so. Britain is going to have a big chance though in the Turners if Grey Dawning does line up in that race. And your eye catcher for the Turners is a horse who would be a wild price if he was to turn up for it. He does have handicap options too for Lucinda Russell, including the Ultima race she's won for the last 2 years with Cora Grambler, but it's Giovinco. I know this horse pretty well. I was very excited about him at the start of the season. And while it was a match race at Newcastle, we were covering that race for TalkSport 2 live, and I was really impressed with him that day. Why is he your eye catcher?
I think you're right. I think Lucinda Russell, sadly, will go for the Brown Advisory with him, which I think he'll still run respectively in. But I really like his style of jumping for dropping back and trip. I think, again, where we're talking about the stay-away phase, and we'll touch on Gallop and Champ later on down the line, I think over 3 miles, it doesn't always matter if you're just hanging the air a little bit because you're, you know, saving energy as well, maybe, and various things that can contribute to why it doesn't matter over further. But when you drop back and trip, the one thing you've got to do is be slick, because otherwise you're just always on the back foot. And Giovinco gained like a 9-length advantage on Stairway Fay at Sandown. We've already touched on why he was losing their speed. And I just think he got out-battled and out-stayed up the hill at Sandown. Again, you know, Sandown, it's a really stiff track. But I just think that Giovinco will lay up with his jumping over 2.5 miles. And I think his stamina over 2.5 miles will be a real asset. Personally, especially in a race that looks like it's falling apart a little bit. So I just think, I think he could be quite an exciting horse if he turned up in that race, but I think the chances are slim.
No, it is looking that way. I mean, look, speed horses like Vitour won it, but we never would have known. But the way he won that day, you'd think, well, he bolted up in a Ryanair a year later and did so in the manner of a horse who would have won a Gold Cup. But hey, who knows? I think Black Hercules is a great example of the fact that, like, he was a proper stamina horse. They were going for the amateur riders race with him, the National on Chase. He got switched into this. That ability of stamina can be a massive advantage, and it would benefit Grey Dawning massively. I do think whoever Willie runs and Paul rides, which is probably going to be Fasal Vega, will probably go off favourite. What is your view on him? I know the data is somewhat limited, but you're going to have a pretty strong opinion on him, though.
I really like Fasal Vega, actually. I think if I was going to pick a winner, to be fair, I just love both of Willie Mullins' horses here. I know Ginny's Destiny's a nice horse. He's performed very well, carrying top weights and handicaps. But unfortunately, I think Gaelic Warrior and Fasal Vega, I just think, are going to be, well, depending on where Gaelic Warrior goes, but again, Willie Mullins' bingo. But Fasal Vega here is really interesting because he was another one that ran in that race that I mentioned at the Dublin Racing Festival with Marine Nationale. And again, if we look back at Supreme last year, you've got Fasal Vega, Marine Nationale 1-2, and they finished in that race with like a finishing speed percentage of 102 and 101%, which meant that they really appreciated that strongly run even gallop. And if we're going to pull apart the Dublin Racing Festival race for being run too slowly at the start for Marine Nationale, I would say exactly the same thing for Fasal Vega here. And I don't think he's got the speed of Marine Nationale, so I think the Turners will suit him well. And yeah, I think the fact that it was run so steadily at Dublin Racing Festival wouldn't have suited him.
He's needed a step up and trip for a while. I don't know what he's been doing over 2 miles this season. Like, he was beaten fair and square in the Supreme. I mean, Willie's a genius. It's very rare that you can do Monday morning quarterbacking and going, Dave, what's he been doing? But this is really one, I can't understand it. They were going to up him and trip for the DRF, and then at the last second, changed their minds. Danny Mullins, by the way, would love to ride him in the Arkell. If Paul chooses Il Était Temps, he would be delighted to ride him and thinks he'd win it. So, I don't know what to tell you. Gaelic Warrior, by the way, he cannot win at Cheltenham. Going left-handed is a disaster for him.
I know, I'm actually really gutted. He's one of the ones that I would love to have all of his runs, but we don't have, like, it was Limerick at Christmas he ran it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like we didn't have Limerick then, and it's, I'd love to see the difference between him going right-handed and left-handed, but unfortunately we haven't got the data to be able to compare the difference there, which I'm gutted about. But, you know, it would be interesting to see what he does. Because again, you can get cover on the outside. You know, you can straighten up a horse. There are ways of getting horses to jump straighter. It's not ideal, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
If you do the visual comparison between his win in the 2 mile handicap at the DRF last year and Ilete Tom's win in the 2 mile grade one, where Fasal Vega was beaten over 20 lengths, he crosses the line after Fasal Vega. That wasn't a great handicap. And this is a high level. It might be a small field, but still a high level. It won't go well. Go to Fairy House, lads. They're going to take him to Cheltenham, by the way. They're not listening, but oh dear. Right, we'll speed through Ryanair Chase, which is fascinating because Banbridge won't run if there's soft in the going, unless it's good to soft, but if it's proper soft ground, then the favourite comes out. Your eye catcher for the race is Galal.
Yeah, hopefully he's been substituted or supplemented. That's the one, supplemented. I think Jamie Snowden has said that he's going to supplement him, which is quite exciting for their team because obviously they've had a really good season so far. But I just think this horse looks twice the size, and I think again, if we were touching on we obviously skipped past Champion Chase, but a lot of these horses that haven't had that, you know, second season in open company, they really benefit for having that second season in open company and moving on to their third season chasing. And I think Garlaw's that sort of horse. Yes, he had a year off with a slight leg in between his novice and his handicap and his first season in open company. So, you know, he's now four years, but only because he's had a year off, if you know what I mean. But he obviously really scared himself at the end of last season in the Sky Bet Chase. He fell and then he ran a really good race staying on in the Ryanair, but he never travelled. He never looked like he had any zest whatsoever. And his jumping was just over a length disadvantage in the Ryanair last year. Again, he's against open company horses, so gaining or losing lengths is going to be harder. But he just looks a completely different horse this season. And it shows up in the data again because, you know, he's gone from a horse that was rooting fences last season, never got his confidence up, massively lost his confidence after the Sky Bet Chase. And then at Newbury, he just took off with Johnny Burke. And he gained an 11 length advantage through his jumping that day. And he didn't even, you know, he didn't even finish the race off. He was just so slick. And then again, same story at Cheltenham last time. He got into a really good jumping rhythm, which granted he probably won't do this time, but I don't think it will matter. And he gained 15 and a half lengths just through his jumping last time. So you look at that compared to Ryanair last year, where he didn't travel, he didn't jump. And actually he only has 9 lengths to make up on some okay horses last year. So yeah, I think he could be quite an exciting each way shout, especially if Banbridge doesn't go.
Yeah, if Banbridge doesn't go, this race becomes, quite frankly, a disappointment, really. Big fan of Envoy LN. I'd love to see him go well again. And he's obviously got a fantastic record at the Cheltenham Festival, being a three-time winner there. As for Stage Star, clearly he loves Cheltenham, but the race IQ data, I quite like the way you broke this down. When everything goes right for Stage Star, he's brilliant. But if anything goes wrong, he falls into bed, pulls the duvet over his head and pretends the world doesn't exist.
It's so true. That's such a good way. He's very teen. He's a bit of a teenager still, isn't he? But he might be another horse. You know, again, he just probably needs another year under his belt just to take him to that battle-hardened level. Because, yeah, it's funny looking at the last two Cheltenham runs. Last time, well, when he won in November, he gained 9 lengths. Even after that mistake at the last, he gained 9 lengths through his jumping. The next time he turns up, he's lost 9 lengths through his jumping. That's just the sort of horse he is, isn't it? But I mean, we can't forget he's the horse that in a handicap in November managed to make that mistake at the last, where he lost 10, like basically 10 miles an hour from that mistake, and still got up to speed so easily that he only conceded 2 lengths to the runner up through that mistake. So, you know, that is not a tired horse. That was a very impressive win. And Paul Nicholls is just the master, isn't he? And if he can get a horse right, you know, he's the one that can set this horse to being, yeah, I think he could go under the radar in this race.
Yeah, if he gets into a good rhythm out in front, he might be one for in running betting. If he's in a nice rhythm out in front, then he'll be dangerous. And Paul doesn't seem at all concerned by the pull-up the last time. I know that you're tight for time today, so I'm just going to race through two races with you, two of the biggest. Tihupu is a horse I'm a massive fan of, which I've obviously watched his races intently. The more I looked at the Race IQ data, the more my eyebrows started to raise. He is losing ground at his hurdles, but that surely tells you what a good horse he is, because he's beaten the Imperial Pass fair and square. As a six-year-old, he's gone super close to winning the Stairs Hurdle. That's what Iris's Gift did, and then came out and won it a year later. But it's a concern.
Yeah, I think, again, he's another one of these stayers which probably gets away with it. He's not visually a terrible jumper, but he's not very slick. He never takes. You can see why he's got to run over 3 miles, because he's always just landing a bit slow, and he chucked the race away last year. And actually, you could say if he was a year, you know, he's a year on, it's not a great division, and if he just happened to meet the last right last year, he would have won it. I think he gave away a length jumping at the last to Sire de Berlay and got beaten, what, half a length or something? So he's got the engine, he's got the ability. It's just everything will probably need to go right. And actually, to be fair, Davy Russell gave him a really quiet ride out the back. And had he been a little bit closer, maybe he could have lost that length at the last and then still been there to win. You know, he rode him very quietly because they went a really good gallop. But yeah, he is someone that you wouldn't 100% trust. So a bit like Paisley Park. Paisley Park is exactly the same in the data. He's chucked away his last three races at the last just from a slow jump because the other ones outjumped him. So maybe you just need to be half length in front at the last and then you'll be fine. And then you know you can't give it away. But
no pressure, Jack Kennedy. I expect Jack Kennedy will be a little bit better this year than Davy Russell was last year. Taking shots at a man who's not here to defend himself, but I think he's going to win. I'm willing to forgive him this, but you have warned me. And if it goes badly wrong, I can't say the Race IQ data didn't tell me. Very briefly, so on the Gold Cup, this is the big one, obviously. The most telling piece of information from the Race IQ data is, obviously, Galopin de Champs is a monster. He's a terrific racehorse. But he doesn't jump as well as fast or slow.
Yeah, and again, it's another one. It's these 3 mile chases. He doesn't have to take lengths out of jumping because he's jumping a bit slowly. He's in a rhythm. He's lolloping along. Well, you might not have ridden horses like that. I have, but you know, he's just jumping nice and, you know, efficiently. But it means that he's always gaining lengths, having to gain lengths back. So, like in the John Durkin, granted that was over 2.5 miles. He was nearly 16 lengths worse off with fast or slow through his jumping. So, you know, granted, he's done really well to get back up to within that fast or slow, but it's just always, it's always a reoccurring theme with fast or slow. He gained, fast or slow gained 16.5 lengths on him in the, oh no, sorry, I'm getting all confused. I've got all my numbers mixed up here. but yeah, he's always just slow in the air again, just hanging in the air. And if the ground dries up like it can do at Cheltenham, I think fast or slow could just catch him out. And again, we forget fast or slow was carrying 4 pounds more last year in the Ultima than Corrick Rambler, who obviously went on and won the Gold Cup, I mean Grand National, and was only beaten a neck. Like, that is a pretty mighty performance. And I just think on better ground, fast or slow could just put Galopin de Champs jumping under pressure.
Your experience as a jockey and being around horses, as well as your extensive Race IQ analysis data, factoring those two things in, if Nicky Henderson is able to make the excuse that, well, John Bond bombed out because he was fired up for the Clarence House Chase a week before and was inconvenienced by the fact that we were delayed, then Martin Brazel hasn't made any excuses for the last day. In fact, he said he was beaten by the better horse on the day. But surely they have a valid excuse because they missed the Savills Chase, because the ground wasn't suitable. So he hasn't been able to have his race. He's gone in fresher than ideal, and they would have looked at the Irish Gold Cup. I might be reaching here. I might be like the fat guy in the milkshake store, clutching at straws. But they might have just used the Irish Gold Cup as, this will get him spot on for Cheltenham. Can you see that those kind of scenarios, along with his stamina, class, and better jumping ability, as being able to at least narrow the gap or possibly turn it around with them in the Gold Cup.
Totally. Totally. And, you know, and it's hard. I mean, if there's any trainer who's going to do it, Willie Mullins could do it. But to turn up Galopin de Champs for that many like monster performances, to go and win a Gold Cup, as well as those monster performances that he's had in the Savills Chase and at the DRF, like those were monster performances. Like, how often do you see a horse go and provide like a third monster performance like that in a season? Like, it would, Willie Mullins will be able to do it because it's Willie Mullins, but I mean, some touring performance if he can get him in that form three races in a row.
Yeah, I wonder, looking back on Cotta Star, was it actually that he didn't like Cheltenham and just managed to outclass the opposition at a track he didn't like? Or was it that those hard races in the Bedford Chase and the King George actually came back to bite him when he was trying to defend his crown? I wonder which of the two. And just on that, like, Cotta Star is the GOAT. Galopin de Champs is the highest rated winner, according to Racing Post ratings, of the Gold Cup since Cotta Star. But he could never defend his Gold Cup crown. And in the 99-year history of the Gold Cup, there's only been 8 multiple winners. I love GDC. I'd love to see him win. I am more than happy to wax lyrical about him on TalkSport, but I will not be parting my cash on him. I'm gonna go with Fast or Slow. And I've been a Shishkin man all along, but Nicky's stable form worries me. And the more I look at Fast or Slow, the more I think this is... He's the younger legs. He's a class act. And I think we'll see a better horse in the day. Where can Final Furlong Podcast viewers, and more importantly, listeners, because there's more of them, where can they find out more details about Race IQ?
So I'm currently, we've got the race at @race_IQ Twitter feed. So at the moment, we're obviously still in development stage. We're trying to get as much data as we can out at this stage, just because we don't want to sit on it. But obviously just trying to get the development and getting all of that data fully accessible. We're still in the process of that. So for the moment, we've got it all going out on @race_IQ. For anyone who wants to keep an eye on things, again, just badger me. If you really want to see a race, just badger me. I'm sure I'll be able to put it up for you. It's not a problem. We're not trying to hide stuff. So, yeah, I just keep your eyes peeled. Racing TV are hopefully going to be rolling this out onto their broadcasts more sort of on a race-by-race basis as well. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled. And we've got some flat metrics as well on the horizon, hopefully launched in time for the Guineas meet as well. So, yeah, lots of exciting things. And, yeah, no rest for the wicked.
That will be fascinating, particularly for City of Troy. I cannot wait to see him in action this year. It's all about the jumps for now. But once the Triple Crown is in sight, that'll be absolute magic. Race IQ might be in beta stage, but you are very much alpha with the information that you've got. That's absolutely superb, Paige. I really appreciate your time today, and best of luck with Race IQ for the rest of the season.
Perfect. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. Welcome anytime. And thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you like this, hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Make sure you hit it on the Final Furlong Podcast podcast app, whichever it is, one it is you're listening to, as my mouth words begin to fail me. That's the morning. We'll talk to you again very, very soon with more Cheltenham content, including a special with Gavin Lynch, which will be available on all podcast apps and the YouTube channel very, very soon. Look after yourself and each other. God bless.